Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, February 17th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
What's up, Les?
How's it going, man? How was your Valentine's Day
weekend? It was good. It was good. Yeah? Not because of Valentine's Day, but just because of circumstance. Went wine tasting for the first time. Now, many times in my life have I tasted wine, but this is the first time I've went wine tasting. Interesting experience.
Did you have to, like, spit it out after drinking it?
No, it's not like that. I don't know what that is.
Because I feel like I've heard of people doing that,
I feel like
right?
that's also a wine tasting kind of thing, right?
Yeah, where you go and you don't want to, like, get drunk, but you want to taste the wine, and so they spit it out after you sip.
I can't fathom that.
That sounds disgusting.
My dad used to do that all the time, because like he works in like the restaurant business, so they like would have like the entire restaurant come in and like drink all these new wines that they're bringing in to like know like, hey, like what goes best.
Here's all the
what.
Bullshit words I can use to tell you, and your bullshit ass dumb shit's gonna listen and be like, oh, this one is oaky.
This wine is unfathomable.
That, but all, but also to like find the best pairing of like food and shit like that. Like they went through like hell of shit.
Yeah,
I can't imagine
Gouda.
This
Gouda goes Gouda with
this white.
Get the fuck out of here, Tim.
With this
that
pinion,
was lowbrow for you.
Pinot Noir. I couldn't fathom going to an event where everybody's spitting. That sounds like a nightmare to me.
Yeah, you don't like spit.
In certain contexts, no.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No. Okay. But how was the wine tasting?
Oh, it was fun. Yeah, it was a fun little time.
Did you have a favorite one that you tasted?
Yes. And then I got pressured into buying a bottle of it, because that's how wine tasting works. Yeah. It's kind of like going to a GameStop, and they just are forcing you to pre-order things that you don't necessarily want.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, you're going to like this Dragon Ball Z game, and you end up pre-ordering it like 2 years before, and you forget about it, and then you buy
Final
two
Fantasy.
Copies.
Next thing you know, it's 10 years later.
you're still waiting for it. Dude, I've been all Sonic'd out this weekend, I almost went to a second screen of Sonic, and then at the last minute, I was like, I'd rather just watch Love, Sex, and Stuff live.
There we go.
Yeah,
there
so I did
go.
That instead.
That was a lot of fun. We did that on Valentine's Day. That'll
awesome.
Be going live on YouTube this week at some point. We're still working on the date for that. But that was fun. But yeah, the Sonic, we left last Games Daily hyped up saying we're going to play Sonic Generations this weekend.
And I did.
And I did not.
Dude.
Because, not because of me, I tried for probably an hour and a half. My Xbox account just won't accept any credit card. I just can't, and anytime I'm trying to buy a game, and I tested it with other games too, it goes to an error page, and it's like, sorry,
this,
we don't know how to deal with this.
Is this 360 games specifically, or is it all games?
I tried buying anything. It's my whole account. I had to like hit up my Xbox guy and be like, yo, I don't know what's going on.
And then they're like, nah, I don't know.
Yeah. So then I played Sonic Mania instead.
Okay.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but I wanted
Generations. A lot of fun. That's the thing is, I've played Sonic Mania a lot now, to the point where it's like Sonic Generations, since I'm a PlayStation person, there's no access on it on PS4, except maybe through PS Now, but I didn't try it because that's not how I want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up going the Xbox route. And dude, I ended up playing most of that game.
Hell yeah.
Like my goal was, I want to get to City Escape. And I forgot that I was like halfway through the game.
Yeah.
And so like I got there.
It's all chronological.
Yeah, it's all chronological, right? So you start at the first Sonic, and then like City Escape is Sonic Adventure 2. Got there, and I was like, this is great. And it's, you know, I'm here. I might as well just play the Sonic Heroes level. The first level. I forget what it was called. But I played that, and I was like, man, that's great. And then I remember the next level was the Sonic 06 level, and I was like, it's a fun level. I can't just stop here. So I played that, and I kept going, and I was like, man. And then I played the Sonic Unleashed level, and I was like, man, Sonic is so great.
I love it, man.
Sonic is awesome.
It. I'm still going to try. I'm going to beat the Sonic Unleashed game again soon.
Sonic Unleashed?
Sorry, Sonic Generations.
Okay.
Unleashed, never again.
Yeah, at this point, I might as well beat it, because I'm at like the last couple levels.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, I did not expect spending my whole weekend just playing Sonic.
I love it, dude. Hell yeah.
It was great. Speaking of which, this is a reference only you will get. This morning, I was listening to Sonic the Hamilton by Charles Hamilton.
Hell yeah. What a mixtape.
Dude, a mixtape that is fully themed Sonic.
Yeah.
And it's like a concept mixtape. And dude, what a great time, man.
Man, Charles Hamilton, what a time to be alive.
Rest in peace.
He's alive still.
he's alive, but not in a great place.
Yeah, not in a great place. Anyway, what tea are you drinking?
I'm drinking...
What's the tea?
Today is the tea. The tea is English breakfast tea. So it's a boring choice.
It's a classic.
It's a Monday. I'm trying to wake up.
We're celebrating our presidents or something. I'm not really
exactly,
sure.
Exactly, yeah. Dude, a lot of people had today off, which is the thing I learned. Yeah, I was talking to like Youssef, and he was like, oh, yeah, I don't have work tomorrow. And I was like... Wait, you people,
it's
like,
a national,
you guys get work off?
It's a national holiday, I think.
Yeah, why are we here?
Because we get the real holidays off. We don't get the fake white people celebration holidays off.
Mm.
I went there. I went there. There.
All right, white person.
You did go there. Today's stories include hope for Persona 5 on Switch, Rainbow Six Siege on next gen, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. Now it's time for some housekeeping. The Persona 5 Royal First Impressions video that me and Joey Noel did is now up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It's about 30 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fun conversation between me and Joey. We kind of talked about how, like, I think overall we came out of it fairly positive, but it was one of those things where I feel like we came to terms that we weren't as excited as we were, I think, coming out of it as we were going into it. And we kind of go into detail about why. But overall, like, I think I'm still going to try out Persona 5 Royal when it comes out. I'm sure Joey will. I think she said that she was having, like, a few second thoughts about, like, actually going through and trying to play a 120-hour game again just for some of the limited new content that's there. But at the same time, Persona 5 is Persona 5. And so if you want to hear our full conversation about that, go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or go to Gamescast podcast feed, because that's available there too in audio form. Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, David Mintel, Muhammad, the Nanobiologist, Frank Furter, Shiraz Rizak, Patrick Higgins, Travis Gajkowski, Drew Gardner, Dominic Shorter, Ginny Burnt, Joseph Solar, and Katie Gallagher. Today we're brought to you by Hims and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Speaking of Persona 5, number one.
Wow.
Don't lose hope for Persona 5 on Switch. This comes from Tom Marks.
Never have it, I never will. Bro.
Of IGN. I know Barrett has, though.
Yeah, I've given up.
Don't give up, Barrett.
It's never going to happen.
Persona 5 still hasn't come, or Persona 5 still hasn't been announced for Nintendo Switch, but publisher Atlus says it doesn't want fans to give up hope just yet. Rumors have swirled around about a potential Persona 5 Switch port for a long time, with a bogus Best Buy listing even popping up in 2019, but that momentum has slowed considerably. So IGN asked Atlus communications manager Ari Advinsula if it was finally time for fans to give up on hope for a potential port during a Persona 5 Royal preview event earlier this month, to which she responded, quote, "I am a strong believer in never give up on hope," end quote. The fervor for a port was spurred on by protagonist Joker coming to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate early last year, but ended up being squelched somewhat when the teased P5S turned out to be Persona 5 Scramble, an entirely new game and essentially full-on sequel coming to Switch. But Advinsula says fans making their voices heard is the only way it'll happen. Quote, "You want what you want," she explained. "And if you don't let us know, we're never going to be able to make it." Advinsula said Atlus is listening and does see the desire for Persona 5 on Switch, saying, quote, "It's important to always voice your opinion," end quote. Advinsula encouraged fans to, quote, "keep telling us what you want," saying she was fighting for it internally as well. However, it's important to point out that she also said she's obviously not the decision maker in a situation like this, despite being an internal champion for it. So this shouldn't be taken as an indication of what is happening or could happen down the line. Barrett, Persona 5 fan number one in this building. Or Joe.
Joey's not in the building right now.
Yeah, Joey's not in the building. That's a good point.
Persona 5 is my game of all time. It's my favorite game of all time.
That's
also
crazy.
Did I hear that she was like, "Oh, please let us know if you want it"? We've been telling you.
You got to keep telling her, though, dude. This is interesting because her being the communications manager, right?
Yes.
Like, you don't just get to say whatever the hell you want. Like, you're representing the company in some way, right? And sure, she can have her interest, but like, you're not supposed to let that get in the way of your company, because that could cause a lot of issues, right?
Yeah.
So while I don't think this is necessarily a sign that it's going to happen, I do think it's a sign that there is discussions about it.
Yeah, it's possible.
And that it is possible. It's not completely ruled out, because I don't think that she would be egging fans of a franchise on to bombard Twitter accounts for even positive things, like wanting something. You don't ask for that type of responses in your at mentions. You know what I mean? Unless it might lead to something.
Yeah, I think Persona 5 on Switch is inevitable. And I know the discussion really is, like, does Sony have some sort of deal with Atlus so that Persona mainline Persona games are exclusive to Sony platforms? Because if you look at the history of Persona, right, every major Persona game has come out exclusively on a Sony platform. And then you have games like Persona 5S or the...
Persona Q.
Persona Q, yeah. Persona Q coming out on 3DS or DS. 3DS?
3DS,
yeah. 3DS. You have cases like that where Persona games come out on different platforms. But for the most part, right, mainline Persona games have come out only on PlayStation. I'm a believer that that is less so a deal and more so by circumstance.
I think if it was a deal, we would know by now.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? And I feel like when you look at the history of Persona, right, you look at, well, I guess I can't really speak from Persona 1 and 2, right? I guess Persona 1 at that point, like, that game's going to come out on PlayStation and what? N64, and I don't see that game.
I think it was
on
PC or something.
Was it on PC also? Yeah, right, but like I could see why that game wouldn't come to N64 given the type of game that is and given the type of period that was. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Persona 2. Persona 3 was a PS2 game, and I can't put my mind state back then. But between Persona 3, and
I mean,
Persona,
dude, think about it. JRPGs were just tied to PlayStation 1 and 2.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that right? Persona Absolutely. 3, Persona 4, I can see why that would come out on PS2 only and not on Xbox. Definitely not on Xbox, given mm-hmm. how Japanese that series is, and not on GameCube, right? And so now we're left with Persona 5, which that game was announced for PS3, mm-hmm. right? And so the idea, and I can understand why that wouldn't come to Xbox One, because given
Still,
how
the Japanese,
yeah,
influence.
How Japanese influenced that game is, and how much that game, you know, rocks in Japan, I can understand why they're like, why they would be like, let's not put all this effort into making this game for Xbox when in Japan it's not going to sell.
It's PS3 and PS4.
Yeah, PS3. Right? And
PS4. That's where their heads were at.
Yeah, and like if they started that development for that game on PS3, I can understand why they wouldn't put it on Switch either.
Well,
at
on
launch.
Wii U being the thing, right? Like
yeah.
Wii U being what the actual thing at that time was. But yeah, now that Switch came out, it's like, you know, Persona 4 Golden came to Vita, right? And granted,
yeah.
That's PlayStation ecosystem. Why, like, the Switch is just the successful Vita. So there's no way that they don't want it there.
Yeah, that's my thing. That's why I think, you know, I mean, it's only going to be one of two cases, right? One being that there's a deal, which I'm not sold on that there's a deal. Two is that circumstantially, there's just not really been a reason to put a mainline Persona game on anything but PlayStation until now, right? I feel like if Persona 5 doesn't come out in some form for Switch, then there is some sort of deal in place.
Yeah, the deal stuff's always interesting because, you know, it's usually very clear up front. This is an exclusive, and this is why it's an exclusive, and you kind of have that framework. Mm. When we knew that Rise of the Tomb Raider was going to be Xbox exclusive, like that for the timed exclusive, right? Like
yeah.
we knew that, and like they came out and it was a little bit blurry for a while, where it's like, oh, how long is the time going to be and all that.
Yeah.
But now, like, you know, as the industry changes and evolves and these kind of things become a bit more commonplace, Final Fantasy VII Remake is a timed exclusive to PlayStation. We knew that since it was first revealed and announced, but we didn't know what the details on. Now, on the box, it literally says, like, on the bottom right, there's like a PlayStation thing, and it's
yeah.
like 1 year timed exclusive. And if I remember correctly, I think last week it actually got, I think it's a year and a month or something. There's like some weird addendum they added to it.
Yeah.
But that's super clear and upfront. Persona 5 coming out when it did didn't have that level of transparency. And I wonder what the deal is. But I feel like if there was a deal at this point with how much people are asking, especially when internal people are talking about this, you just nip it in the bud if it was not possible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or there is a deal. It is not possible. And they just want it really bad, so they're trying to get a whole stir up to maybe make the powers that be like, you know what, fine.
Yeah, make it like a crossplay kind of thing where it's
yeah.
like, put the pressure on Sony to let this
yeah,
happen.
Which is a totally different situation, and
yeah,
that's
different.
Not going to work.
Yeah, but I would love to see Persona 5 on Switch. I know many people would, but that's the thing, right? I would rather replay Persona 5 on Switch than play Persona 5 Royal on console. Like, that's kind of where I'm at, right? Where, like, the Persona 4 Golden I played on Vita, and I feel like, as a handheld experience, Persona works so well because it is kind of a bite-sized game, at least like when you're taking it a day at a time in the format of those games go, mm-hmm. right? When you're in the dungeon, you kind of want to kind of spend time in there. But even that, right, like I could see an argument that those experiences work better as a handheld experience as opposed to a sit down in your living room for 120 hours.
Well,
that was
the
a big
power
of
the Nintendo Switch. You can do both.
Exactly. Number two. Rainbow Six Siege is coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X with crossplay in the works. This comes from Matt Brown of Windows Central.
I'm loving it, Bless. Everything we've been talking about, dude. this gen, cross gen, it's happening.
Yeah, and this bounces off of the conversation we were having on Friday very well. And so, to start, Rainbow Six Siege targets a launch day release on both next-generation consoles. Leroy Athanasoff, game director, tells Windows Central, with recent amendments to its seasonal structure, its team of several hundred employees is committing resources toward the new systems. Ubisoft hopes Rainbow Six Siege leverages that hardware on release day, translating to a holiday 2020 availability. Quote, why I can't give you a date is because those dates are in the end on people doing the next-gen consoles, Athanasoff stated. What I can tell you is that we are going to be on the consoles from launch when they will release the consoles, but it's up to them to agree to that. For Siege, our target is to be available right at launch, end quote. Ubisoft delivered its first console upgrades for Rainbow Six Siege with PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox One X. However, those updates materialized months after their respective launches. The studio takes a more proactive approach into the next generation, explains Athanasoff. Quote, we don't want to break our community, so we want people who buy the new system right away to play it with their friends, end quote. To avoid community fragmentation throughout the transition, Rainbow Six Siege will also feature cross-generation multiplayer. For example, quote, that means if you play on the next PlayStation, you'll be able to matchmake with the previous PlayStation, end quote. Ubisoft also remains in discussions to bring crossplay to Xbox One and PlayStation 4, although it comes with numerous policy hurdles to circumvent. Quote, again, this is more a discussion between Microsoft and Sony. We would love to be fully cross-play, have Xbox players matching against the PlayStation, end quote. PlayStation players. We are ready to support that, and hopefully this will happen because, as I said, it's a general move in the industry, and there is nothing that can prevent that. It's just a matter of time before it happens, end quote.
Fantastic stuff, man. Yeah. You know, and it's cool. I really, really like these quotes here because he's kind of saying a lot without actually getting at it. But it's really saying it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just can't say it's going to happen. It happened with Call of Duty. Why would Activision be able to get it done and Ubisoft not be able to get it done?
Yeah.
Right? I imagine that this is the future. It is better for both console makers to be able to have these games be played and enjoyed any way that gamers want to play and enjoy them. So, I don't know. I still want to see what these boxes look like. Yeah, what does Rainbow Six Siege look like as a purchase for Xbox Series X?
That's the thing that I think flows so well from our conversation we were having on, I think it was Friday, yeah. Right? About why would you re-release GTA 5 on a new console if everything is backwards compatible, mm-hmm. right? And here they're talking about we're going to have a version, quote, a version of Rainbow Six Siege on next-gen consoles. What does that mean?
And I mean, on top of that, for the fact that they literally bring up the Xbox One X and PlayStation 4 Pro stuff, saying we don't want to break our community, we want people to buy the new system right away to play with their friends, and those updates materialize month after the respective launches, so we want to be there right then. It's like, so that kind of implies it's going to be similar to the Xbox One X updates.
Mm-hmm.
Of which Sonic Generations has one, and
you can play
in 4K.
It does. Looks great. Looks awesome.
But that's so interesting. And again, I like that he's like, I'm giving you this, but I can't say anything.
Yeah.
So.
And I wonder what the conversations are with Xbox and PlayStation regarding launching at launch. Because the way he makes it seem is that, like, I don't know if what, what's his name? If Athanasoff is meaning in this is that it's up to PlayStation and Xbox to whether or not they get to launch.
No. It's not that. It's up to them when they launch.
When they launch the
console. He's saying he doesn't know the dates.
Gotcha.
Which is either true, and I feel like a lot of these publishers either know the dates already,
mm-hmm.
or the dates aren't decided yet.
Cool, but I feel like he would just say holiday 2020 then, right?
Well, he's kind of saying that.
Okay,
right? He is saying like it's gonna be holiday. I can't give you the specific dates because that is up to them.
Gotcha. Anakin JMT writes in and says, Rainbow Six Siege will be available on PS5 and Xbox Series X. Do you think this is something that developers of other live service games, Fortnite, Destiny, Division, etc., will do instead of making new games for the new consoles? Do you think this will satisfy gamers, or will the gamers want a shiny new game to go with their shiny new console?
I think things are changing. And again, it's not across the board that every single game has to function this way, but I think when it comes to live service games, like I feel like almost without fail, these live games launch, and no matter how much goes into them, they launch poorly, mm-hmm. right? Then there's the stories of it goes down two forks. Either you battleborn yourself out of existence, or you Final Fantasy 14 yourself back into existence. Use that Phoenix down, bring yourself back to life. You know what I mean? And we've seen that tons of times now, like with Division, with Rainbow Six Siege, right? Like Destiny is well on its way to solving those issues. I think that that is the direction this industry is going. And I feel like with that, we don't need to buy a brand new version of these games. Just let us keep playing those games because they finally have hit their stride.
Yeah.
Let us have that stride with the power of the Series X and the PlayStation 5.
Yeah. I think the conversation we don't have enough when it comes to games as a service games is that every game is different as far as what a lifespan can be, as far as like where like how long a game can last. Because Fortnite, I don't think we'll get a Fortnite 2 necessarily within the next generation.
It's like Minecraft.
Yeah. Like, I don't see a reason why they would make a Fortnite 2, right? Maybe we'll get it toward the end of the next generation or the generation after next generation, or maybe never.
Or, like, I feel like we're more likely to get, like, some weird spinoff that's like, here's a story mode or something. But, like, even that's not Fortnite 2. Like, Fortnite is Fortnite, and it's going to continue to be what that is. And that is going to continue to change if Fortnite wants to remain the behemoth that it is. Like, they are the industry standard. They are the ones that are doing different things. They are trying different types of events.
That said, I think we will get a Division 3, right? I think Division 3 is very likely because that's a different type of service game. Like, both these games are games as a service. One of them is very much a servicey, like, hey, like, we're trying to make this last forever. Like, this is a platform.
It's a platform, yeah.
Division, right?
Is a Ubisoft game.
Is a Ubisoft game that is a service, right? They do have these expansions. They do have these updates. The game does live, but at a certain point, the game cuts off, and they are like, okay, let's transition everybody to the next thing, or let's provide an opportunity for everybody to start anew.
And, like, where you're kind of going here is, like, those things can both exist.
Yes.
As well as single-player games, as well as, you know, couch multiplayer games. It's like, we have hit a point that there is room for all of these different experiences. The big thing is cost, and, like, money needs to be made from these games, and where does revenue come from? And that's where all the microtransaction stuff, season passes, battle passes, all of that needs to kind of get figured out, and I feel like we've kind of spent this generation doing that. And that's why going into next gen, there's all this talk about ecosystems and all this talk about subscription services, because that's how the money's going to be made.
Yes. Yeah. Number three, Nintendo is likely to suffer global Switch shortages from virus. This comes from Takashi Mochizuki of Bloomberg. Nintendo is likely to struggle to supply sufficient Switch consoles to its U.S. and European markets as soon as April due to a production bottleneck caused by the coronavirus outbreak, according to people with knowledge of the company's supply chain. Limited component supply coming out of China is affecting output at a Nintendo assembly partner's factory in Vietnam, which the gaming giant primarily uses to build consoles for the U.S., said the people, asking not to be named because the details are private. A shortage of components this month would affect Switch units scheduled for arrival in April, after existing inventory and current shipments of the consoles have sold through. The potential slowdown would deal a blow to the Kyoto-based company, which is preparing to release a major new installment in the hit Animal Crossing game franchise on March 20th. These first-party titles are the lifeblood of the Switch system's popularity, sustaining its sales momentum as it enters its fourth year since launch, which feels crazy.
That is crazy to think about.
Right? Yeah. We're in the fourth year of the Switch almost.
Yeah.
Quote, we do not see many major impact on the shipment to the U.S. currently, but we will remain vigilant and take steps if necessary, a Nintendo spokesperson told Bloomberg News. Quote, it's possible the supply would be affected by the virus if it becomes more widespread and prolonged, end quote. Tim.
It's crazy, man. It's real sad stuff.
Yeah, man. So real life affecting video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's a sad thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, coronavirus of course overall is a sad thing. Do you think we'll really see, like, Switches out of stock in April?
You know, I mean, it'd be interesting. I think that with Animal Crossing, it's really on Animal Crossing. Like, how well is this Animal Crossing actually going to sell, and is it going to sell Switches? Additional Switches?
Yeah.
And I think that the answer would be yes to that. Like, Animal Crossing is that type of game, similar to Pokemon, that it's a perfect excuse to, you know what, I'm going to buy the light. Like, it's been 4 years, I have the Switch, it's time to buy another one. So it's people buying a second one, it's families buying a second one, because, you know, their two kids want to go to camp together or whatever. I'm not really an Animal Crossing guy. Do they go to camp? I think they go to camp.
There's a camping version?
Or, like, New Horizons, they're going on their adventures and stuff. It's a wild world out there.
Are you going to try out Animal Crossing?
I might. If I do, it'd be my first one really giving a shot. I already know I am not down. But millions and millions of people are down. They love that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They love their valleys. They love their Stardews. So I think this thing is the type of game that would sell additional consoles as well as consoles for the first time. So that could definitely be hit by this. And we usually see Nintendo consoles kind of sell out around the holidays. Like even back with the 3DS and stuff. Any holiday, it was very difficult to find a 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
Which is bizarre, but it's just because they sell out, and they're just like, well, shit, there was only so many in stock. So April is a weird time for that, but hopefully they figure out
solutions. At the very least, it's not holiday, which is nice, totally. Right? Like, if Switches are going to sell out, or if Switches are going to be out of stock, this is kind of the time to do it. The sucky thing is, the Animal Crossing coming out, which is a big game we have for the spring.
It's the only game we have this year that we know of.
Yeah.
So,
and so timing sucks on that aspect, but people will live.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this does have ripple effects for like a potential Switch Pro, right? Like, does that then push if we theorize that comes out, say, spring 2021, right? Does that then push that out to fall, or is there any effect on that? And how does this affect next gen consoles?
I don't think so. I think that's the thing. It's like, how does the coronavirus affect the rest of the industry? I think that's the bigger question. Hopefully not at all, you know.
Yeah.
But
number 4, Sonic the Hedgehog beats Detective Pikachu in U.S. opening weekend. This comes from Hayden Taylor of GamesIndustry.biz. The live-action Sonic the Hedgehog film grossed $57 million at the U.S. box office in its opening weekend, outpacing Detective Pikachu to set a new record for video game adaptations. Former record holder Detective Pikachu pulled $54.3 million during its opening weekend in North America. Overseas, Sonic grossed $43 million from 40 markets, placing its total opening weekend revenue at $100 million, still $61 million behind Detective Pikachu on the world stage. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Sonic the Hedgehog is expected to gross $68 million total over the long weekend. So this is kind of a conversation I think we were having.
Our boy did it, man. We're getting a sequel. It's happening.
Oh, it's happening for
sure. That's the takeaway from this for me.
Yeah.
Detective Pikachu, a little more doubtful. But this, he's making it, man.
I mean, you made a good point. When we had this conversation previously about how, like, Detective Pikachu came out during a busy time, right? We had Endgame, we had Aladdin, we had a bunch of movies coming out. Lion King. Like, there were multiple movies out during that time of Detective Pikachu, whereas Sonic the Hedgehog is really only competing with Birds of Prey, which isn't competition at this point.
And also totally different audiences.
Yes.
Right? I feel like Birds of Prey is limited based on its R rating, right? It's R-rated.
Yeah, it's rated R.
So.
That makes sense. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So
that movie's so good. And it sucks how not well it's doing the box office.
Yeah. So Sonic, pretty good too. I had to spend I was with maybe 20 different people this weekend, and Sonic was obviously a joke.
Yeah.
A lot of people were just like, "Oh my god, who's gonna see the Sonic movie?" I'm like, "I already saw it. It's not that bad."
Yeah.
And I had to convince them all.
Legit. I was having a car ride with Yusef and some friends, right? And this person we just met was talking about the Sonic movie, and I was like, "That movie was great, wasn't it?" And she was like, "Oh yeah, it was awesome." And we were talking about different moments, and it's one of those things where, It's weird how much of a common thing is becoming that people believe this movie is good, right? Like, we all have this shared knowledge that the Sonic movie is a good movie. That's not a place I expected to be in right now.
2020 is wild.
2020 is wild. It's different. It's hitting different. Number 5, Activision Blizzard is pulling their games from NVIDIA. Or actually, no. Activision Blizzard pulling their games from NVIDIA.
Quote,
"It was a misunderstanding." This is an update that comes from James Batchelor from GamesIndustry.biz. Quote, or not even quote, "NVIDIA has clarified why Activision Blizzard's games have been removed, attributing their initial inclusion to a misunderstanding." And this is actually bouncing off from a story we covered last week about how how Activision Blizzard was pulling their games from NVIDIA. So to continue, Bloomberg reports the Call of Duty publisher was involved in an initial beta test of GeForce Now, and because of this, NVIDIA believed the partnership included the trial period after the streaming service's launch. In a statement, an NVIDIA spokesperson said Activision Blizzard was a fantastic partner during the beta, adding, quote, "Recognizing the misunderstanding, we removed their games from our service with hope we can work with them to re-enable these and more in the future," end quote. So that's a quick update for you. It's a misunderstanding.
Yeah. Good stuff?
Not really. I mean, not for NVIDIA, right? Like, I think the whole conversation, I forget who it was, who I was talking to about this last week, but you know, actually, I think it was Gabe, right? Or maybe it was Imran. It was somebody. But the whole streaming wars is starting to heat up in video games, right? And GeForce NVIDIA Now coming out within the last month, I think sparked a bit of a fire because it came out and it was great, right?
And
like
it
the
worked.
Whole like, and it worked, right? The whole idea of it is that you can play games that are in your library already and you don't have to like pay extra, right? You just get to play these games. And the service is like at its basic free with a premium version of it. And so like GeForce NVIDIA Now had a lot of good buzz and good press going into it, and them losing all the Activision Blizzard games was kind of a blow, right? And this explanation of it being like a misunderstanding and like, oh yeah, they were in the beta program and now like we thought they were going to be in the final thing. Turns out they weren't. I feel like it's messy.
Is that what they're saying? I took this as them being like, oh, they're gonna. It's Activision kind of being like,
it's NVIDIA being like, this is a misunderstanding. Yeah, I think I copied and pasted it weird, which is why it comes off weird.
Okay, yeah, that's not good then.
Yeah, no, so yeah, that is not good for NVIDIA GeForce Now.
Yeah.
It's a weird kerfuffle considering how big of a partner they are, right? And yeah, we'll stay tuned and see how all this pans out, whether or not more companies
Streaming
pull
Wars,
from,
man.
From
hey,
GeForce.
Dude, it's going to happen. The same that happened to TV and movies is going to happen to games. And there's not going to be one streaming thing to rule them all. That's just simply not how this is going to go. You're going to have to subscribe to multiple services if you want to play those different games because there will be exclusives tied to those services. Not saying I like that. That's just the reality we're going to have.
Why do you think that Activision Blizzard pulled their games from GeForce NVIDIA Now? Because from what we understand, right, they had no reason to, right? They're still making money off of these games. Mm-hmm. These are games that people already own, get to play. But
I wouldn't be surprised if it's because they want to launch their own service.
Really? Because that was one of the things that we threw out there when we talked about it earlier, and I was like, it could be it, but I feel like that'd be such a weird move for Activision Blizzard to do like their own streaming service. Granted, they have Battle.net, they have their own platform that people can play games
on. It's about to be not weird because every single publisher is going to have some form of this.
Mm. Number six, a fun piece of game history. It seems a playable Xbox build of StarCraft Ghost has leaked.
God, how are we still talking about this game?
This is from Zach Zweizen of Kotaku. And Barrett, heads up, I sent something to Control, some assets, right? There's a whole video that leaked, and we're not going to watch the video because I don't want this video to get claimed. But we can look at some screenshots. I'm sure nobody will mind about that. Screenshots and footage of StarCraft Ghost, Blizzard Entertainment's abortive attempt to crack the console market at the turn of the century, surfaced unexpectedly this morning. The assets appear to be legitimate, although their provenance is unknown. The video above is one of three found and shared on social media and forums this morning. It's a 720p capture of the first 7 minutes of the game. StarCraft Ghost was supposed to be a third-person stealth action game spun off from Blizzard's RTS franchise. It was announced at Tokyo Game Show in 2002, placed on indefinite hold in 2006, and in 2014, Blizzard co-founder Mike Morhaime finally confirmed it had been canceled. Another video from user Lears Manesses, first spied by Kotaku, shows StarCraft Ghost running on a modded Xbox 360. Manessas says it was leaked online by some guy who found it on a dev kit. I recommend people check out Kotaku. I believe Kotaku has the video available if you want to see gameplay of this. But let's see. The leak seems to have been first noticed on social media when Andrew Borman of the Strong National Museum of Play posted four screenshots to Twitter, which I don't know if you've already pulled this up, Barrett, or not, but you can show the people, right? So this is like the start screen. And then if you scroll to the next one, right, they got the select mission menu.
Wow, man. I can't believe I'm seeing this. I was so hyped for this game.
Really?
Because like the kid across the street played the shit out of StarCraft and loved it. I could never understand it. I wasn't a PC gamer. And just looking at it, it just broke my brain, right? All these Zergs and Reavers running around. I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
But this, I was like, oh, you're speaking to me. You're trying to like take this, put it on console, third person action. I am fucking in.
Barry, can you pull up the gameplay video for Tim? It'll be on Polygon or Kotaku.
I also love that it's 720 because the Xbox could do 720. GameCube and PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 2 couldn't.
But yeah, I want Tim to see some of the gameplay if you haven't seen it already.
No, I haven't. This is blowing my mind.
I was watching it earlier and I was like, this is fascinating.
It's like one day we're going to get Star Wars 1313. Just like...
Could you imagine?
I watch that fucking trailer every year, like without fail. Just like, man, what we could have gotten.
What could have been?
What could have been a dope ass Boba Fett game?
I actually didn't know much about this, right? Like, I think I'd heard the name StarCraft Ghost, but I didn't know what it was.
This was one of those games that I was, like, looking forward to. Like, every EGM, I would wait monthly, like, hoping there's some update on StarCraft Ghost. Like,
it's been removed.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, no, I got a different link for you that works. Trust me. Sadly, the people watching the video aren't going to be able to see it, but I highly recommend. It's on Polygon, for sure. So check that out. But I'm going to send it to Barrett so he can show Timothy.
Yeah, man, it's exciting stuff. Getty's. Like, this is one of those big deal canceled games. Like, you know, it's up there with Scalebound and Star Wars 1313, where it's a bit older, obviously.
Sent it to Control.
But, yeah, just it's crazy that 20 years later, or not 20 years later, fucking near, no.
No, we're, I mean.
18 years later from it
being
announced.
Yeah, 18 years later,
wow,
right. So me and Tim are looking at gameplay right now.
This is a real ass game.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So, like, it looks like it's done.
It looks really good being in 720p. Wow.
Yeah.
For an OG Xbox game, okay.
So it's like a stealth game. You got the main character here hiding behind a corner, and it's about to stealth take out some, what are these, Zergs? I don't know what these creatures are called.
I have no idea. I think they are Zergs, though.
Bug creatures with claws coming out their backs, and then you shoot them, they explode. It's a green dust, a green splatter.
A little Terran outfit there.
Yeah, and then you can, like,
that's cool stuff, man.
Yeah, man.
Gotta love history. I'm sure Jared Petty's somewhere, like, freaking out.
Yeah, Jared Petty's somewhere doing head spins.
He would make that sound, Barrett. You're right.
Oh, I'm Jared Petty. That's how I imagine he.
Doki doki.
Timothy, I'm very excited to see whether or not a StarCraft Ghost actually comes out. It'll probably never come out, but who knows?
That one day it might. So far away.
Right? That past or potential future is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Here's the thing. My mouth is so dry.
You got that dry mouth?
And I think it's from drinking tea before doing the show. And I got to figure it out because, like, one, I need the tea so I can be awake.
Keep you going.
But at the same time, it's making it so hard to read because my mouth is so dry. So I'm going to drink some water and then get out.
While I read out today, ladies and gentlemen, Magic of Autumn on PC, Mokodo on PC and Mac, Rule the Rail on PC. What the fuck is that?
Watch that video.
Trap on PC. Project RTD, Random Tower Defense, PvP. That's a lot of damn letters, guys, on PC. And this is from Nibel on Twitter. Warface has been stealth released on the Nintendo Switch, available on the Australian eShop right now. Some new dates for you. Risk Global Domination for PC will release on Steam Wednesday, February 19th, and Assassin's Creed Syndicate will be available for free on Epic Game Store on February 20th.
Underrated entry.
Syndicate?
Yeah. I think it was just because Unity was the
previous one.
Yeah, it was Unity and Rogue that came out around the same time. Yeah. And by then, people were like, all right, we're fucking sick of Assassin's Creed, so, like, no one gave Syndicate a chance. I never beat Syndicate myself, but I played, like, a good amount
of that
game.
That's the one where it takes place in the Britain.
Yes.
And you have two characters, the guy and the gal, who are siblings?
Yeah, they're twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
19 years.
We have Rule the Rail here. Barrett's pulled it up. We're going to watch a video.
Oh no.
This looks like a Sega Saturn game.
Oh no.
Oh man.
Damn.
I was gonna say N64, but
that was a good cut right there.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay.
We have
Rule
like a
the rail.
Top down, like it looks almost like a tycoon game possibly. Like
this
a
looks
rail
like
tycoon, but it looks terrible.
If MS Paint was 3D.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good way to describe it.
All right. Well, anyways, Rule the Rail, ladies
rule the
and gentlemen.
Rail, if that looks up your alley. Oh, man, we got to talk. I feel like that's mean. I shouldn't be mean. Somebody did this.
Somebody did that.
Somebody
You're
did
right.
this.
You're right. They did.
Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. You've heard us talk about Hims and how they are helping guys look their best. If you haven't, it's time to see what they're all about. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Andy and Nick both have used Hims, and I can tell you straight up, they have some of the best hair in this office. No offense, Tim.
It's true. Hey, I get it. I believe you.
But I sit across from Andy, and like every time I see him, I don't tell him this, but I'm like, man, that hair, man. I just want to like you know.
You got that. You got that.
I want to do something.
Sniff it.
Sniff it. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best versions of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. Dive into 2020 hair first. Right now, our listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. The prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. The offer is valid if prescribed. 3 months minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Next, we're brought to you by Quip. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It is simply this, that if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to help to guide a full and even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to Quip, if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games, spelled getquip.com/games. Quip, the good habits company.
Quip it up.
Michael Knight writes in and says, good morning, KFGD hosts. When the hell will we hear about a new Fable game? Huh. I've been playing through Fable 1, 2, and 3 on Game Pass, and the uncertainty that there will be a Fable 4 is beginning to get me. Do you believe Playground is definitely working on Fable 4? Will we see Fable 4? Will we see a Fable 4 reveal or trailer at E3? Could you see Fable 4 being a launch title for the Series X? Thanks for all you do. Tim, motherfucking Geddes.
We will see Fable 4. It does exist. We will see it at E3. It will not be a launch title.
You don't think it'll be a launch title?
Because Halo's a launch title.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. They don't need to.
So you're thinking launch window?
Launch window.
I mean, perhaps. It could be a, like, or 2021. How similar are those audiences, though?
It right? doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay.
Although, Xbox are crazy.
I know. I was about to say, if these motherfuckers get a Fable announcement before I get a Batman announcement, I'm going to flip. But here's the thing. I was like, you know what? The Fable fans deserve, like,
yeah,
their
it's been,
they've been waiting a long time.
Honestly, yeah, they deserve it more than you deserve Batman.
It's going to happen. And I definitely do think it's going to be at E3. It's going to be at the Xbox One. No. Xbox Series reveal event, which I imagine will be E3. So if it's before E3, then it'll be before E3.
Do you think it's definitely Playground that's working on it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's been the rumor, and that's like, I mean,
it's one of those rumors where it's like,
we know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ryan McCaffrey said so, and so I believe
everything he says about Xbox. So, yeah, I think it's going to happen. A launch title, crazier things have happened.
I think the thing to also remember is that, like, there are going to be a lot of games that are announced and revealed at Xbox's conference or whatever. In fact, probably most of the games aren't going to be at launch, right? Like, Dreams was at that PS4 reveal, right? And we're just getting Dreams, right? And so, like, I could easily see Fable being at that Xbox Series X conference blowout, whatever you want to call it, and them not even putting a year on it. Them just being like, Fable is back, right? And then coming back in 2021 and then being like, it's out this fall or whatever. I could see that happen.
Kind of like a Metroid situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I think they've been working on it for a while, and so I don't think it's at launch, but I think it is going to come sooner than Metroid. I think it'll probably be 2021. That's my guess.
I can see that.
Parker Petrov writes in and says, hello, Blessing and Tim. According to IGN's Ryan McCaffrey, I did not see that coming. The Xbox Series 2 controller is the best selling video game accessory for the third consecutive month and fifth best selling of all time. Video game analyst Matt Piscatella then chimed in with the following list, right? For the top five best-selling accessories by dollar amount.
So interesting.
First in the first 3 months in the market, right? At number one, we have... Actually, let's start at number five. At number five, you have the Xbox One Elite Series 2 controller. At number four, we have the Wii Remote with Motion Plus bundle pack. At number three, you have the PS4 DualShock 4 Black. At number two, we have the 360 Kinect with Kinect Adventures, Fruit Ninja, and Gunstringer. And at number one, we have the 360 Kinect with Kinect Adventures. So my question to you, Bless and Tim, with the apparent success Microsoft has seen with both versions of its Elite controller, will we ever see PlayStation version of an Elite controller from PlayStation in the PS5 era, or will third-party premium controllers such as those made by SCUF the closest we will ever get? Happy Monday, Parker. What is going on here?
I brought Girl Scout cookies.
Oh! Nick is here with Girl Scout.
I would love a Girl Scout cookie.
What flavor are these?
These are just the trifoils.
I don't even know what those are.
I've never tried them either, but...
I'll have a biscuit.
I bought so many Girl Scout cookies over the weekend, they threw in an extra box. I was like, is this, like, normal?
I love it.
I went to your comedy show last night, and one of your bits was about Girl Scout cookies, and I thought that was just a bit.
No,
I didn't realize it was real.
I legitimately got those little fucking meth dealers that stand out on the corner that decide that they're the cutest thing on the planet. They were like, sir, would you like some Girl Scout cookies? And I was like, no, I don't want any. And they're like, are you sure? And they bat their little eyes. Someone's like, all right, I'm going to get a box of Samoas, right? Because those are the fucking goat. Those are the goat, right? Then I was like, I can't get a box of those and not get a box of Thin Mints. Maybe I'll bring a bunch for the comedians. And then I ended up getting five boxes.
Jesus.
You got swindled.
I got swindled.
I love it.
$20. They threw an extra box and they laughed at me as I left.
Dude. Thin Mints, though, slap. Ooh, my favorite ones.
Legit.
Gotta love it.
Is that the butt plug?
I love so much. So much that. We got this butt plug, ladies and gentlemen, that we talked about on the Sonic the Hedgehog thing.
And we're 46 minutes into the show.
We're like, I'm just going to put it here, and let's just not mention it. And I love that Nick Scarpino comes in. The one time he's been on Games Daily in a year. Is that a butt plug? Oh, man. Okay,
the answer
top
is yes.
Five accessories. All of this is surprising to me. Some of those things, those are the greatest hits of accessories. I get that. But I don't understand how they're counting accessories. Like, they're specifically talking the black DualShock 4. Like, that's weird they get that specific in that way.
Yeah.
They're also talking about, like, bundle experiences. So why do they count Kinect with Animal Adventures or whatever it was, but they don't count Wii Fit with the board, which sold ridiculously well?
I mean, the difference is... Wii Fit was the software, and it came with the board, whereas this is the Kinect, and it's coming with Kinect Adventures. It's very much like semantics,
yeah.
But I think that's what's happening.
Is there another question of, like, did Wii Fit not sell as well in the first 3 months? Was that, like, more of a sleeper hit where it built up?
Isn't this all time, though?
No, this is the first 3 months.
First three months in the market.
Oh, got it.
So I feel like it's either what Blessing is saying, or...
The Wii Fit definitely had to sell more than the Kinect, though.
Even in the first three months? Never mind.
Who knows?
Because Wii Fit and the Kinect are different.
The Wii Fit sold more than Kinect in the first 3 months. It must have. It must have. Wii Fit was a phenomenon. And the Wii install base was insane.
I'd be curious.
Yeah, look at the sales numbers of Wii Fit.
Yeah, let's look this up because I'm actually very curious.
I mean, but that's the difficult thing. It's like we only get the top five here, but we don't see like how much they sold in the first 3 months. We're just told that these are the top five things.
It's like the most money made, though. That is another interesting thing. Kinect was more expensive. Also, the Elite controller, very expensive.
Yes.
So it adds up fast.
But yeah, the question from Parker Petrov here is about whether or not we see this from, or we see a series kind of controller, right? An Elite controller from PlayStation, given this.
It's not definitely not given this. You know, I can't believe we haven't seen one yet. It's such a bizarre thing that PlayStation hasn't done that, hasn't doubled down. They added the back component. People seem to like that. It's a weird thing that when they announced it, but now that people have it in their hands, they're enjoying it. I love my Elite controller, the Series 2.
Yeah.
It feels fantastic. And I wish that I had the option to get a DualShock in that style.
I would love... I mean, my thing is I'm shocked we haven't seen the like how Xbox has the design labs. I'm surprised you haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. For the PlayStation controller. Because I feel like if we're talking about Sony and Microsoft as companies, right? Microsoft is kind of that company that is trying to push for technology a little bit more than PlayStation, right? Like, PlayStation is very much focused on its software lineup and making it the best place to quote unquote like play.
Yeah.
Whereas Microsoft is kind of pushing for, hey, Xbox Series or Xbox One X, the most powerful, right? Xbox Series X is going to be super powerful. We have the Elite controller. We have, like, they're very much pushing themselves as a technology company because they're Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that aspect, I could see why PlayStation hasn't gone for the Elite controller, even though, right, like, as a video games company, they probably should.
Yeah.
Right. I think nobody would really feel bummed out they got a PlayStation Elite controller.
I mean, here's the thing. If PlayStation did this, I think that it would beat the Xbox controller.
Yeah. It would sell gangbusters.
More people with PlayStations.
I mean, yeah, like the regular DualShock 4 is like the number 3 best selling in the first 3 months. Like, yeah, it would sell gangbusters. I would love one too, because the Xbox One controller is just so good. And then, like, I really
like that Xbox One controller.
I almost bought an Xbox over a PS4 just based on the controller.
Okay, well, now that's crazy.
Legit, Xbox One controller might be one of the
best controllers. Yeah.
And so I would just love some more, like, weight to the PS4 controller. And I feel like if we got an Elite PS4, PS5 controller, it would give a little more, like, heft to the DualShock that I would want, that I get from an Xbox controller. So, yeah.
So before we even get to you're wrong, I'm correcting myself here.
Oh,
I am flabbergasted, young blessed.
Yeah.
Wii Fit has sold 18.2 million copies, which is what I expected.
Yeah, that sounds about
That's a big-ass number for a game with an expensive peripheral.
Well.
Kinect Adventures is the best-selling game for the Xbox 360.
Jesus.
Wow.
Holy
cow. At 24 million copies.
How? I've never, like, I don't think I've ever, like, interacted with someone who had a Kinect and, like, had a Kinect.
That was my thing, is I remember, that's why, like, I had to pause myself, because I was, like.
Well, it came,
like,
with the Xbox.
It did?
One X? Or the One? Xbox One? Yeah.
Well, this is for 360.
Yeah, this is for the 360.
Oh, for the original. Yeah, fuck. Yeah.
I don't think. No one had a Kinect in the second half of that life cycle. Yeah.
But I remember it being, like, a thing. But yeah.
My friends bought it. My dumbass friends. Like, my non-gamer friends.
Fucking fake gamers.
Hey.
Yeah. I play that Dance. I was going to say Dance Central. There were some uses for that Kinect. You never played I'm Solo, I'm Han Solo?
No, but my friend would sing it all the time in high school.
It's terrible. Yeah. Now it's time to squat up. Aiden C. writes in and says, I just got Division 2 on sale, but have nobody to play with. If there are any best friends new to the game like me or vets willing to show a noob the ropes, I'd greatly appreciate it. Aiden's PSN is Aiden the Average. So there you go. If you want to play Division 2 with somebody, you got it for $3 on digital on PSN like you should have, go hit up Aiden. Aiden the Average. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong to see what we got wrong this episode. Let's see here. I got to remember to delete things is what I'm learning right now. Okay. The nailbologist says, okay, well, that's, we don't really need corrections on the wine spitting stuff. Nail Biologist says, reminder, Siege devs are aiming for 100 operators and reaffirmed this goal over the weekend when they talked about their 5 and 6 year plans. It's not really a you're wrong, but if you want more context to the lifespan of Rainbow Six Siege, there you go. Somebody's correcting us about Fortnite already having a story mode. We know this.
Nail Biologist says, missed new date. All of Kingdom Hearts will be available on Xbox tomorrow.
That's a good one.
It's already available.
When was that
in
announced?
New Zealand.
Like, I know Kingdom Hearts was announced, but the date was...
I think that just happened.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. Let's see.
Nanobiologist says, Wii Fit and Wii Fit Plus are combined the 8th best-selling game of all time with 43.8 million units total sold. Okay, so adding Wii Fit Plus to that, but those are different then. It splits it.
Yeah. Somebody here says Lion King came out 2 months after Detective Pikachu.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, there was just like a...
A wave of
that almost, was that was, you know, a very busy spring and
yeah, it was, yeah, just like, it was not even like, it went from, we're talking just May to July,
yeah,
and it was like Pikachu, Aladdin, Endgame.
yeah.
Supercuts writes in and says something I was gonna say but I held it back because I didn't think it was that important, but Unity and Rogue came out together. Syndicate was the next year.
Yeah, that's I said that.
He said that.
Oh, is that what you said?
I said Unity and Rogue came out at the same time, and then Syndicate was after.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's it. We did it. We nailed it. Yay.
Hey, we did it. Let's see here. This week's hosts, Tuesday, Greg and Imran. Wednesday, Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday, Greg and me. And on Friday, me and Tim are reuniting.
Woo!
It's going to be a great time.
It's going to be good. It's a Tim and Bless sandwich of a week.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Tim and Bless sandwich. Tim, can you tell me about what Gamescast is this week? Because we're talking about predictions and bets, right?
Oh, yes. This week, Gamescast, we are recording tomorrow.
Yeah.
Actually, it is me, you, Imran, and Greg. And we are doing our predictions and bets for the next generation. So it's not just launch titles. It could be. But we're talking about the whole generation.
Oh,
it's that's be, so much, Tim.
It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun one.
Bloodborne 5 is going to come out. We have, and that's going to be, yeah, me, you, Greg, and Imran. Mm-hmm. And that's happening for Patreon 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Yes.
Tentatively. Awesome. And then we're also streaming this Thursday at 2 p.m. and Friday at 2 p.m.
Halo, baby. Yeah. We're finally doing it. The full playthrough. Greg's first ever playthrough of Halo Combat Evolved.
And are we talking about who's going to be on that?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Because, you know, things might change.
A lot of people have been asking about the full playthroughs lately.
Yeah, I saw people asking about it. Like, are these still happening? Yes, they're happening.
There's always a plan. We're going to finish the fight. Well, we're going to start the fight.
We'll see. We might finish the... Do you have any hope that we're going to finish the fight this week?
Well, no. We're not finishing the game this week.
Okay.
Like, for sure. We're gotcha. At least this is part one and part two of our playthrough. But you don't finish the fight until Halo 3.
Oh. Okay, so yeah, you're talking about like the full spanning series.
The fucking trilogy, Tim!
Yeah.
Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday, live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.